Hello and welcome. You're about to enjoy another exciting message from Abbotsford Christ the King. Here at ACTK, we believe in bringing people into belief, building people up to belong, and sending people out to serve. If you have any other questions about our beliefs and values, or would just like general information about the different resources here at Abbotsford Christ the King, you can visit our website at www.actk.ca. Now let's listen to this week's message.
Highly recommend and encourage you ladies to go to that. I'm really looking forward to that conference and what God will be doing. I will personally be there, but just anybody else cold, or is it just me? My apologies. Our apologies for the temperature here in our room today. We're experiencing some boiler or furnace issues right now, so pray that that'll get taken care of, and I hope and pray that as we just ended our roof fundraiser, we won't be taking a fundraiser for our furnace. We're going to go ahead and start our message today. Why don't we bow our heads in word and prayer? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, once again for the time and the privilege that is ours, Lord, to come and to worship and to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we worship you, we praise you, we surrender to you, Lord, we exalt you here today. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to continue, Lord, to worship you and praise you, Lord, today in opening, Father, your word of Lord today. Lord, we ask, Father, that as we open your word today, Lord, that you open up our hearts, our minds, our spirits, Lord, to receive whatever you would have for us today. Lord, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name for revelation. Lord, that you give us revelation, Lord, to your truth today that will set us free. Lord, we ask, Father, for your spirit that you, Lord, not only would open our eyes, Lord, but give us hearts that will respond to you in faith as well. Whatever, Lord, you may be calling us to be doing for your glory and for your honor. But I pray, Father, as your instrument, as your mouthpiece today, Lord, that you grant me, Lord, your words, anoint me and fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, to preach and to teach and convey, Lord, what's on your heart, what's on your mind, what's on your spirit, Lord, for us today, Father, for your glory, for your name's sake, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, today we are continuing on in our sermon series, Game Changer. We've been going on a journey and talking about, in particular, this life-changing thing that Jesus did some 2,000 years ago when he died and he rose again, the life-changing truth and impact that it has for our very lives. You know, we live such crazy, crazy, fast-paced lives, don't we? Yeah. Running around, going about from one task to another, busy at work, school responsibilities or things like that, going through all these different chores. I just wonder a question. You know, do you ever have these times and moments of your life when things go, when you get a moment when things are just really quiet for maybe a second, you pause and you wonder, is this what life's all about? Is this really what I'm here for? Or kind of question and wonder and ponder, you know, what on earth am I here for? Is there something more that God would have for me? I think all of us have these times and these moments in our lives where we question, we wonder, our purpose. Deep implanted in each of our hearts is God's design for us for something more, that God has a plan and purpose. And today we're going to be talking about specifically this life-changing truth that God would have for us to understand what he did through his son, Jesus Christ, and how that applies to us and our purposes in our very lives. And so we're going to take some time right now. It's going to take a little time for us to get to this. But be patient with me, and I promise it will be worth the journey. Let's turn to our passage today, Luke chapter 18, starting here verses 31 through 34. Luke chapter 18, verse 31 through 34. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." Now, this is the third time here Jesus is prophesying, or Jesus is telling his disciples, particularly what he's about, his point, his purpose, telling about, you know, that he's going to be killed, there's going to be a crucifixion going on, and he's going to die and be raised again on the third day. And starting here in verse 34, The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. It's amazing here that this so mind-boggling, earth-shattering, amazing truth, what Jesus Christ came for, his death, his resurrection, what he's going to be accomplishing on the cross. You'd imagine, you wonder here, why on earth would God would not give revelation to the eyes of the disciples here? Why would he allow them to see or to completely understand and gather together in their hearts and their minds and their spirits to understand the significance of what Jesus is talking about? And we might even, as readers of the text, kind of question, well, what is going on? Well, why are we doing this? But we have an amazing thing here that, I was taught in seminary that context is king. And what I mean by that is that the context of a passage is the key to understand the context and understand its full meaning and the intent that we, as God's reader of the Bible and scriptures here, we have the privilege to understand this passage and the context that surrounds it. Because the author of Luke here, as he's penning the text, he's trying to point out something of significance about the meaning and bring revelation. Because the context of this passage here is as Jesus is predicting and sharing about his death on the cross and his resurrection 3 days later. Now what follows after that text is the story of a blind beggar and the miracle that Jesus did, opening up his eyes. What follows after that then is this another story, this account of Zacchaeus. And Jesus' point and understanding here of this truth that he wants to impart and talk about here through Zacchaeus, this tax collector. And then later on, Jesus goes on and he tells a story, a parable, to fully illustrate what he's talking about, this truth about Zacchaeus, and fully illustrate, and Jesus talks and gives an illustration through this parable about these 10 servants and this king giving the 10 servants three months' wages and what they're to be doing with that. So here we are, Jesus here now, follow a track with your guys. Jesus here now saying, I'm going to die on the cross. There's going to be my death. There's going to be resurrection in 3 days. Completely, the disciples clueless, don't understand. There's no revelation here, given they're prevented here from understanding. And now over here, there's the blind beggar over here. And now here we have Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Then we have the parable of the 10 servants. You guys with me? Okay. Now here, what we're gathering here, now here we have the eyes of the disciples shut. Jesus here, he talks and says, here I am. I am going to be crucified. I am going to be buried dead 3 days. I will be resurrected again. And the disciples' eyes are shut. And now we have now this account that's being given. This blind beggar here. This blind beggar, when it comes to Jesus, he says, hey, Jesus, son of God, Hey, call Jesus' attention over here, and Jesus walking through, and then he says, what do you want me to do for you? And that's, let me pick that up here. Luke chapter 18, verse 41 to 43. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus says to him. And here's his reply. He says, Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. It's an important thing here. What immediately follows after this account of the disciples being blind and not fully understanding and grasping the truth and the revelation here of who Jesus, what he's about, what the work is on the cross, and now the blind beggar here and calling out and saying, what do you want me to do for you? And open up my eyes that I may see. And Jesus says, receive sight now. You can receive sight by your faith. So here's the connection that's being drawn here. The emphasis here is, okay, the disciples, as you're reading, you don't understand what Jesus is about, his death on the cross, his resurrection, don't fully understand. Now, a blind man is able to see by his faith. What's being emphasized here is that if you want revelation, if you want to see what you don't understand, what Jesus is about here, his death on the cross, his resurrection here, the profound implications that you can't see that, it's received by faith. And calling out to Jesus and asking Jesus to open my eyes. Because I can't see here, but it's revealed here as I reach out and I call out to Jesus. Jesus, let me see. And Jesus says, you can see now by your faith. By your faith. You guys with me? Okay, now let's walk through this together. Ask Jesus right now, open my eyes and see. Okay, now here we go. Now, the next set of texts now. this cup that's given over here. Now Jesus here says, who I am, by that blind man sees. Now the next account over here is going on with Zacchaeus. Now Zacchaeus, he's a tax collector. Zacchaeus, I mean, tax collectors back in that day, they were Jews, Jews by descent, but they were most hated people amongst the Roman Empire, because especially amongst the Jews, because I mean they were their own kinsmen, their own family. But these tax collectors, what they did, not only did they gather taxes for the Roman government, but they also skimmed and they also took even excess money from the Israelites, from their fellow Jews, and they were hated even more for that. They took advantage of their position for their own personal gain and wealth. So Jesus, as he's traveling along now, he says, why don't I go to, Zacchaeus now? Joke here is, who's the shortest man in the Bible? Zacchaeus, because he couldn't see Jesus walking through, so he had to climb upon the tree, right? Some more tree, get on the tree and say, hey, Jesus. You guys remember that from your Bible stories? Remember that? Okay. Hey, Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm going to go hang out at your house, right? And then all the Pharisees, all the people around the world, where are you going? I can't believe Jesus is going to go to the house of a sinner. A sinner like Zacchaeus. This guy who takes advantage of this. This awful, awful man. This greedy man. This sinner. I can't believe Jesus is going to go and hang out with him. And as Jesus is hanging out with this guy, here's Zacchaeus' response in verses 8 through 10 in Luke 19. Right? Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now oftentimes as I read through that scripture, I was thinking, well, wow, Jesus is claiming that salvation now, that Zacchaeus is saved. He's come to personal faith and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And praise the Lord, he's come to seek and save the lost here. But as I read the text even further or clearly here, Jesus says, the Son of Man has come to save and to seek that which was lost. And particularly in the Greek here, that is the gender here is neutral. It's not talking about a man specifically here. It's not talking about Zacchaeus over here. And the question, what's that Jesus is saying, that's what was lost, that he's going here to seek and to save? Because here what Jesus is clarifying here, as Zacchaeus is saying, hey, here it is, Jesus. I'm going to give half of my possessions, everything, because I'm a wealthy, rich man because of all the things, the bad I've done. I'm wealthy, I'm rich, and I'm going to give half of my possessions all over to the poor. And if I have defrauded or if I have stolen from anybody, I want to give back four times to anybody that I've taken advantage of. I'm going to give four back times. And here it is. Now Zacchaeus, now Jesus says, now salvation's come to this house now. Salvation. Now, to understand here, salvation is not about the gift of eternal. Talk about that now he's saved here. But he's talking about in particular that there's reclamation. There's restoration being done here through Zacchaeus and his house. That Zacchaeus is having restored the things that were taken away. Poor people who don't have any money, who don't have any resources, I am restoring that. I am giving that back. Things that I have taken back, I'm going to give back four times that much to even people that I have ripped off in the past. I am restoring things that were gone, things that are missing from people, I am restoring. And Jesus now, what he is doing is paralleling and clarifying his work. What he's doing, what he's saying, what he's giving, the revelation here, Jesus saying, here is what I'm about. I'm going to be dying. I will be crucified dead. 3 days later, I'll be rising from the dead. Open your eyes by faith. And here is the account here of Zacchaeus now. And Jesus is paralleling and bringing revelation, the understanding of what he's been about. What the work of the cross is to seek and to save that which was lost. And what he's talking about, this restoration of possessions, things that were taken away that are now going to be restored. Just like he's paralleling, just like Zacchaeus now restores people's finances, giving that back to the Lord. Now Jesus is saying, I am going to be restoring, seeking and saving that which was lost. I am going to be bringing back what was lost. You guys with me? Now here's the thing. My question is, what was lost? What is Jesus saying? And I'm going to be bringing back. I'm going to be taking back. I'm going to be restoring. People have missed things. There's poor people that they should be given, they need to be given it back. I'm going to see and save it. I'm going to be bringing it back now. Just like that, Jesus is giving and giving back now and restoring people to what was lost. I'm going to be doing the same thing. That is what is going to be done at the work of the cross. I'm going to be restoring things. Restoring things. I'm going to bring that which was lost. Seeking to save that which was lost. And in order to understand what is that, what was lost here, we have to go back, way back to the Garden of Eden. Way back to the beginning of time when God created Adam and Eve, and back to creation. As God created Adam and Eve, as God created man, he said, you know, man uniquely in all creation was born and formed and made into the image of God. They were to be image bearers of God. Humankind was destined, and they were called to be God's representatives in this world. And in understanding that, God says and gives them this command here, Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." It's interesting here, what God wants us to understand here. As he creates the human race here, made in his own image, that uniquely they were supposed to be his representatives in the world. They would be representing God. They would be to be, when we break down that word, representing God. They were to be represent God. That as they were called and given authority, rule over the world, rule over God and God's creation, that God had blessed them and said, "Well, here's my purpose for you. Here's my purpose. You're going to be my representatives in the world. I'm going to give you my authority. You're going to be representing me, representing me into this world. I'm giving you my authority, conveying it, representing. You're going to be my representatives in the world. You're going to be ruling, subduing the whole world now. That is your point. That is your purpose. That's why I'm creating you. For my glory, for my honor, I'm giving that to you." Now, here it is. As you read on in Genesis chapter 2 and through 3 here, now you get the account here that all is not well. Because actually, what happens after that? Fall. The serpent, the devil comes in and tempts them. They fall to the temptation. They take of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And then sin enters into the world now. And now, what Adam and Eve do is they choose to obey and come into agreement with Satan. By coming into agreement and obeying Satan here now, they, in essence, when you come to obey or agree with Satan, you come under his authority, or you become, in actuality, his slave. And as his slave, everything that you own goes over to your owner, goes over to the master. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says it this way: "Don't you know that you are slaves of anyone you obey?" Don't you know that you are slaves of anyone who you obey? That understanding here, when Adam and Eve, when they chose to obey, when they chose to come into agreement with Satan here, that everything that they possessed, their God-given authority, the privilege to rule, to be representers of God, to be part of God's kingdom, where to rule and subdue the world, to have all his authority was now given over to Satan. Handed over to Satan. That was lost. Now here's this. What God is saying here is that now the reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 8. That the works of the devil here stealing man's authority, that Jesus, his point, his purpose is to take it back. And now here it is in Luke chapter 4, verse 67, that the devil knew all about that, and in this temptation, he was asking Jesus to take a shortcut. Luke chapter 4, verses 67. The devil said, "I will give all this power and glory to you." Underline this in your text. "It has been given to me." He can't take authority. It's given when we come into agreement with him. "And I can give it to anyone I want to. Just worship me and you can have it all." Now here it is. The devil knew exactly what Jesus was about and what he was about to play. Now here he was asking Jesus, just take a shortcut. Just you worship me. Come into agreement with me now, and I'll give you the authority that I had taken and stolen. That was once they became slaves. That all the authority, all the glory, all the power, I'll give that back to you now, Jesus. And so we see in this text what Jesus is saying, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What he is all about here is seeking and saving that which was lost. It's all the power, all the authority that was originally intended and meant to be for all human beings. That God, that he was taking that now. And what he's saying is, I am reclaiming that. That the work of the cross here, the work of the cross, his death, his resurrection, and understanding its meaning by faith, and understand that right now what he's about is he's going to be restoring something. And what he's ultimately restoring here is the authority of man, of the ability of man to be full image bearers of God, to be rulers and subduers of the earth. That is what Jesus was about to do. And that's what Jesus saying, that I have to seek and to save that which was lost. And he's saying that I am taking back and I am reclaiming at the cross the authority that was supposed to be by given to man and for men to enjoy and endure for their lives. You guys with me? Now here it is. Important point here, because what immediately follows after this, account of Zacchaeus and saying, you know, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. It's this next account over here. It's Jesus now clarifying this point. Clarifying, if I'm going to be taking it and I'm going to be seeking and saving that which was lost, this next point, I want to illustrate this. Illustrate this powerful truth. And Jesus says, I am going to, here's the illustration that he gives. He gives the parable, the illustration of the 10 servants. Now, in this illustration of the 10 servants, Jesus says there's a king. There's some high command, and now he is going away for a little while. Because as he goes away, he's going to be exalted as king, and he's going to be crowned as king. But as he goes away, he calls 10 servants together. And he adds one servant, each servant, he's going to be giving 3 months' worth of wages to each servant. He said, you know, you take it, and I want you to use it now. And so when he finally comes back to one servant, he says, well, what you do with the 3 months of wages? And the first servant says, well, wow, welcome back, King. Well, with this first, with the wages that you gave me, I multiplied it 10 times. Multiplied it 10 times. And the king says, well done, and great job. This goes to the second servant. Well, what did you do with the 3 months wages that I gave you? He says, well, here's what I did with it. I multiplied your 3 months wages that you gave me, King. I multiplied that by 5 times. Well done, great. He goes to a third servant. He says, now, what did you do with the 3 months wages that I gave you? He says, well, here's the 3 months wages back. What do you mean by that? And let's clarify. He says, well, here's three months back. And here's the king's response in the teaching right here, Luke 19, verse 26. Yes, the king replied, that's what you're giving. And to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now, Jesus here, his point, his illustration here, he says to the one that does actually nothing with it, he says, well, you should have stuck it in the bank, because at least that would have earned some interest from you. But you did actually nothing with it. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take that and give the guy who multiplied by 10 times. And that I'm taking that away from you. I'm going to give it to the guy who used it. And people are stopping around him. Really, you're going to do that? And he says, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Because those who use well what's given to them, you know, I'll give even more. But those who don't do nothing with anything I give them, I'm going to take that away. Now, here's the point. Jesus says, I will die and be risen again. What revelation, what that's about, see by faith. What I'm doing at the cross, here's the revelation. would be restoring it. God would be giving it back to man by faith through the work of the cross. That the authority, the rule, the great purposes that God had planned for all human beings, I'm bringing it back. And I'm giving it back. And I'm restoring it. And now here it is, and I restore it back. As I restore it back, everything that I give back to you, fully restored, I expect the stewardship of it. That in essence, you're use it or lose it. My work of the cross that is received by faith, that I am giving back to you now, full authority, full purpose, everything that God would have for us here. Now that thing that is given back is supposed to be used for God and his kingdom purposes and for his glory. Here's the truth that we need to understand here. You are called so much more. You are called to so much more. That what God wants us to understand here, that what he has done up on the cross, his death, his resurrection, he has given us so much more than we could ever think or we could ever imagine. He was giving us a power and authority to rule over this world and to be used for God's glory and for his honor and for his kingdom purposes. And then God says, as I give that, as I take it, I restore that back to you now, I am calling you out to use it for my kingdom purposes. Not just to hoard it over here to yourself, but to use it for my kingdom purposes. To understand that each and every one of us, we are called to so much more than what this world would want us to think or even imagine. That this culture dictates and tells us that all we're about, our whole point, our whole purpose of living and the whole purpose of life is just for our own creaturely comforts. To pay off bills, to just kind of make it by, to just start feeding into our retirement plans, to be live comfortably, retire, all these for just our own pleasures. But God wants us to understand there is something so much more that he would have for us, so much more that he would have for us to understand, that our lives, that the gospel, our salvation is so much more than just about us, but it's about other people and about God's kingdom purposes. And what God wants us to understand is that our lives are more than just about personally building up our own kingdoms, but our lives are supposed to be spent on building God's kingdom here on earth.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. That's right. But even in this truth, I wholeheartedly believe that there must be something that we must approach and hit to understand what holds us back. What holds us back to be fully living out this truth, to be extending ourselves, to be spending ourselves for God's kingdom work here on earth. That as he's given us our authority and power, what holds us back? And then I want to draw the words and attention of the servant that did absolutely nothing with the resources. And here's his reply to the king or to Jesus. I was afraid of you, verse 21. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take what you do not put in, and you reap what you do not sow. That the reason, the explanation that the servant now says to the king, of the reason why I didn't do anything, the 3 months' wages that you gave me, the reason why I did absolutely nothing with it, is because I was afraid of you. Because I understand you to be a hard man. You take things that you do not invest in, you not put in the name, you read things what you not even sow into. What he was calling into is his question here, his understanding of the king and what the king was about. And what holds us back here, what holds us back from being spent out and be stepping into God and his kingdom work for our lives is our understanding of who God is. That somewhere in our minds that's here, that we think that God is a hard man. What I mean by that, the Greek word here for hard, the root of this Greek word talks about dryness. Dryness. That in particular here, that what we're talking about, that God is going to be sucking me dry. That If I step out into some work and I step out into God's purposes that He would have for me, if I'm going to advance not just my personal kingdom, but to step out into my life and be used for God's kingdom work, God's kingdom purpose, that God's going to leave me high and dry. That I step boldly out in faith here, God is, He's going to leave me alone. He's going to be taking things from me. He expects things of me that God has no personal investment into. He's going to call me to step into things. I mean, He's going to want to take things from that He didn't personally invest in. He didn't put into. He didn't sow into that. He's just going to leave me high and dry. Can I hear an amen? I mean, what causes us, right, to shrink back from sharing our life and our journey of Jesus Christ our lives with our unbelieving neighbors? Or our unbelieving friends at work? Aren't we afraid that somehow, somewhere, that God's going to leave us high and dry? That He's going to leave us all out and alone? What causes us to shrink back from stepping into serving perhaps as a life group leader, or serving perhaps as a youth group leader, or serving perhaps in our children's ministry? Aren't we just afraid we'd be left high and dry? That somewhere, so God just, He's not going to be there. He's not going to be there. He's not going to be there. My friends, I want to encourage you that there's nothing more invigorating and exciting than stepping out in the faith into God's point and purpose and plans for your life. God will not leave you high and dry. I will personally testify that throughout my life. I remember when I felt God stirring and called my life to become a pastor. I remember somewhere in my back of my head was, how on earth am I going to provide for myself? How on earth am I going to be able to get married and provide for my kids? Because pastors don't make a whole lot of money. How am I going to do that? God certainly is going to leave me high and dry. As I accepted the calling here to come out to Canada with my family, I remember my old eldest son, Justin asked me, so where are we going? Who do we know there, Daddy?
Nobody.
Where are we going to live?
I don't know.
Where am I going to go to school?
I don't know.
Question is, isn't God just going to leave us high and dry? And I will speak to you personally, my testimony, that God has not left me high and dry. I do not regret accepting God's call here to Canada. God has provided abundantly for me and my family. Abundantly. Our God is a God of abundance. And He has provided me with family here. I have left family back in Chicago, friends back in Chicago, at ministries back in Chicago that I have sowed into. But I do not regret God's calling here, because God has given me even more. It is a vast and huge, huge adventure. And I want to encourage you to take that adventure as well. God will not leave you high and dry. No matter what you step into, no matter what you walk into, God will not leave you high and dry. I remember even thinking and pondering as the elders, as Pastor Justin asked and approached me, well, here it is. I'm thinking it's time for me to step away, time out for you to step up and to step into to become the senior pastor of the church. And I'm thinking, will God leave me high and dry? I don't have what it takes to be the senior pastor of this church. I can't do just what you are doing. Certainly, God's going to leave me high and dry. And I will tell you, and I will testify to you, that God has anointed me, God has empowered me, God has enabled me to walk out, step up in faith, and be used for God's kingdom purposes, for His glory, and for His honor. And it is not just for me. I am not unique. I am not special to God. You too are unique in God's eyes. And God calls and wants you to step out in faith, whatever that happens to be, to step out and to be used by God for His kingdom purposes. Because there's something much, much bigger for us to understand here, that you are called to so much more. So much more. So much more than you can ever think or what you can ever imagine. But here's the thing that also holds us back. It's not only our perception of who God is, but even our perceptions of who we are too. And that's here. And I in Luke 19, verse 26, Jesus says, and yes, the kingdom comes, and to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But those who do nothing, even what little, they will be taken away. I want you to understand that they underline here in your Bible and your scripture, they are given. You have been given authority, power, rule, back the cross, by the cross. The life game-changing truth here is that you have authority. You have power by God's grace. You have his giftings, his talents, his abilities. The enemy wants us to buy into this lie that, you know what, salvation is just about the gift of eternal life, heaven someday, somewhere out there in the future. But in the meantime, I just got to suffer through the here and now, just get by, just pray that heaven I get to look forward to. But God wants us to understand that salvation and eternal life is not just something for us to experience some distant future, but salvation and the gift of eternal life and life in Jesus is experienced here and now. Here and now. That he wants us to know, living in all of this guilt and shame, like, I don't got what it takes. I don't have any of these abilities. But God says, you have been given kingdom authority. My power, my spirit working in you, my talents, my abilities that I'll be using in you. To you, I've given you my son, my Holy Spirit, to be dwelling in you and anointing and empowering you for all my kingdom work and all my purposes. That is who you are in Christ. You are gifted. You are able. You are anointed. You are empowered for God's kingdom purposes. There are no things for us to be hanging our heads low and saying, I can't do it. There's no way I can. Because God says you can. Because in Christ, I can do all things. All things. All things. All things. All things. You might be thinking, well, Bob, you don't understand. My current struggles. God certainly doesn't have anything for me. Definitely not me. Maybe you, but not me. I want to share with you a God story. A God story that our meeting created. And I want, can we dim the lights? And I want to show this God story to illustrate this point.
So in 2006, we had our daughter, our third child. Her name is Kennedy Faith. And she was stillborn at 36 weeks. And that was a real difficult time in our marriage and in just our family life. Even though I had young boys that I still had to be their mom, I really wanted to just hide away, and I just couldn't face the deep, deep pain of losing a child.
Became neglectful as a husband, maybe a little bit neglectful as a father, and really just kind of, you know, in that just became lost.
I reached a breaking point in our marriage, and I just didn't feel like I could really do it anymore. And in order to just protect our kids, I decided to leave with the kids and make another home somewhere else.
So when she left, you know, it took me, it really took the wind out of me. And that's when I started to, you know, just kind of look at my life and say, you know, what's important here? Like, is my job important? Who am I trying to make happy? You know, what do I really, really want? And do I really want to lose, you know, everything?
And I remember Justin asking us if he could pray with us. And I remember Justin saying that God, he wanted to pull me out of the pit that I was in, because I was so consumed with this happiness that I thought I was going to find somewhere else. And he said that God said he'd put diamonds and rubies in my heart for orphaned kids. He said that God wants you to work with orphaned children and to start an orphan home.
And I just started, you know, fighting for marriage, getting into the Word, doing my devotions, just being really on fire for God.
I really seeked God at that time. I remember just crying out to him and saying, like, you know, do you even know who I am? Do you even know the circumstances? We're not even together. What would this look like? Where would we go? I remember I just was asking God just so many questions. Even though there seemed to be no hope, I needed to trust him with everything, and that meant my marriage. So I remember just moving back in March of 2010, and you know, we were going to be a family again. I started having dreams, and the dreams were so vivid, and they were of kids just pulling at me, and I felt this huge sense of urgency that we need to figure this out. God is definitely calling our family to help orphaned and vulnerable children. We were going to be obedient to him, and we were going to go to Kenya and seek what he had for us.
When you go to Kenya and these homes, and just the opportunity to hang out with these children and give them a hug and hold their hand and talk with them and just, you know, put your hand on their shoulders, and just, it's just touching, and it's just amazing.
So we have seen God grow Imani Orphan Care beyond our wildest dreams, and we just do give him like all the glory for that, because it is him and his plan for his children. So despite your circumstances, doesn't matter what you're going through, God can use you. And if we wouldn't have said yes to God, there was an urgency. There was kids that needed us, and we all have to step up and fill the spot that God has for you. And he has a plan for everybody.
A year and a half ago, he gave me this verse to explain to me what on earth was going on in my life. You know, I had just been filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I felt the Holy Spirit just within me, just amazing ways, and I just couldn't. And the Lord spoke to me here from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. God has spoken this over me in my life, that what finally made sense to me. And the reason for God's filling his anointing was for me to be enabled and empowered to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set free the captives, to bring freedom to those that sit in darkness, to deliver those who sit in darkness. But here it is, what I understand this, is that it's not just for me. That this calling, this anointing, this filling, this baptism in the love of the Spirit is for our church. This calling that God has for us in his church, that he will pour forth his Spirit upon us. Pour forth his Spirit upon us to proclaim good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim deliverance and freedom to those who sit in darkness, to declare the year of the Lord's favor. That it's not just me, but it's a flat out call out for all of us. It's going to be for all of us to carry out this mantle, to carry out this purpose, this vision that God has planted and given us in our church. That's to bring people into belief, to build people up to belong, to send people out to serve. That means every one of us, every one of us is counted and worthy and needs to step out and step into everything that God has for you. Yeah. You are called to so much more.
Amen.
Called to so much more. Unashamedly invite you to this huge adventure that God has for us as a church. To step up, to step into. We need help. We need giftings, people with giftings and talents and abilities. Be serving in our children's ministry. Be serving our youth ministry. Be serving in our life groups. Be serving in our worship teams. Be serving back in the AV. Be serving behind the scenes, cleaning up, helping out in our church. We need evangelists. We need teachers. We need prophets. We need pastors out here. We need people to be stepping out in anything that God would have for us to move forward, for us to be fulfilling God's calling for our church. And that means for each and every one of us, to accept this fundamental truth that this life game-changing event happened some 2,000 years ago. And it's not meant to be in the past, but it's meant to be for us here and now to be lived out. This salvation, this life, this eternal life, as each and every one of us understand this fundamental truth that you are called to so much more. How can he review that scene, that video today? If it wasn't for our media team to use their gifts, talents, and abilities, and their time to put that forth for the advancement of the kingdom of God, for the personal edification and building up of the saints here in our church. It takes people to do that. Certainly not me. I don't got the talents and abilities to do that. But I know there are people here with amazing talents, amazing abilities that you have yet to step forth into. That God would want you to understand that you are called to so much more than you can ever think or imagine. Understand who God is. He's not a stingy God. He wants to give you more. It's the principle also, probably not just use it or lose it. But when you use it, God will use it and bless you even more. With even more. God wants to give you more. Can you imagine? God is not a stingy God. God doesn't want to leave you high and dry. God wants to give you even more than you could ever think or imagine for his kingdom purposes and for his glory. As you step up, step in by faith, God will use and expand your gifts, your talents, and abilities for his glory and for his honor. That you would experience him in new and profound and life-changing ways. In the depths of your heart, as you question, as you wonder, is there something more for me? Is this what life is all about? And God will say, you are called to so much more. So much more than you could ever think or you can imagine. That it's not just about building our own personal kingdoms, but about building God's kingdom here on earth for his glory and for his honor. You are called to so much more. So much more. What it means practically here is for us to stepping out by faith, recategorizing our understanding of time and your places of work. I don't call for anybody to quit their jobs and go to become a pastor or something. But here it is for us to understand that our jobs that God has given us, the workplaces that He has given us, it's not just meant to be paying our bills. That our jobs that God has given us is to be steward, not just for finances. But it's to be steward because of the human beings that he puts all around. That is your mission field.
Right.
And to be using of your time, your gifts, your abilities at the workplace to understand that that pain in the backside boss or that client is an unbeliever who needs Jesus Christ. That without your personal testimony, without how you respond by grace and by mercy, that person is literally going to hell. You are called to so much more than earning a paycheck. That job is to be leveraged for God's kingdom purposes here on earth. The hope that God has blessed you with is to be leveraged for God's personal kingdom work. That they understand that is the territory that God has surrounded you with. That your neighbors now are the mission field. You don't have to go to Kenya. You can go right where you're at, right where you live. Your neighbors need Jesus Christ. You are called to so much more. So much more. You have been given talents, gifts, and abilities that you are using in the workplace that can be used for God's manifest kingdom purposes here in the church. And I'm calling you guys to be stepping up to be used by God's kingdom purposes here in our church in ACTK. Put us into the 21st century, please. That takes you. I'm getting too old for this, and I'll just go back to the 20th. We need you to invest in your treasure as well for God's kingdom purposes. You know, I want to thank and I appreciate each and every one of you. You helped us pay off our loan debt $42,000. You understand, I don't forget this, that it's more than just about some physical structure that hangs over our head. But you pay, you sow, you invest. You take the treasure that God has given you, the finances that God has given you for his kingdom purposes, for what happens underneath the roof. And I would thank and praise for the life change of salvation, the transformation of people's lives that it takes to be able to be under the roof. I want to thank and I encourage each and every one of you faithfully tithe and give of your treasures to God's kingdom purposes work here at ACCK. Know that what you give, it means transformation. It means lives change. It means people come to know and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It means that people are baptized. It means that people are delivered from Satan and his attack. It means that people are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. As I look around, everybody here, this amazing touch, man. I mean, with Jeff and Kim, this made all these amazing things happen because people give up their treasures. People give up their treasures. And I want to thank and appreciate those who faithfully give up your tithes. But I want to call out for those who call ACTK family, who call ACTK home. This part, for those of you visiting here for the very first time, welcome, so glad you're close your ears right now. But this isn't for you. I'm talking to friends and family here. Friends and family here. But you're not giving that. I'll be specific. You're not tithing that. 10% of the income that God provides to you. God's income. 10% back into the storehouse. Because we need it desperately. Because lives need to be changed for God's glory and his honor. Invest. You are called to so much more. It is not about building our own personal building. It's not just thinking, oh, God will leave you high and dry if I tithe, won't he? God will not leave you high and dry. God will bless you with even more. It's not just a get-rich-quick scheme, but it's about sowing and reaping. It's about God saying, as you trust in me to provide and care for you, I will take care and provide for all of your needs. I know as you give, it's significant for life change. God's will is not come, it is not come to waste. We steward it for God's kingdom purposes. I want to encourage you to do so as well. My friends, as we wrap up here today, let's bow our heads and work.